One of the best things about hosting Coast to Coast is I get to pick out the bumper music. And let me tell you something, I get sucked into it just like all of you do. And when Earth, Wind, and Fire kicked in during the last break, I got teleported. I thought I was back in some place called Fade to Black. I don't know what happened. It just took me over. But this is Coast to Coast AM. Right now, Stephen Hawking is again warning us that we should be wary about answering alien signals. He's talking about it again in this video presentation. I watched it myself yesterday, and he's again suggesting that an advanced civilization could attempt to colonize Earth, that we don't need to answer back, and we need to really double think. Now, for Stephen to be talking about this, and you can read the full article right now over at coasttocoastam.com. You can just go to the end of the news section and check it out for yourself and go and watch the video. But it makes me just think that maybe we've already heard something and we have made contact. And Hawking knows, and he is trying to warn all of us to back off. This is Coast to Coast AM. It is open lines. It's Friday. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. And we've got Steve Murillo with us live in the studios, manning the phones with me tonight. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast. It's Friday night. It is open lines. And let's do just that. East Coast, West Coast. Let's go back out west. Let's go to Mike in Gold Bar, Washington. Mike, you're up next.
Good evening, gentlemen.
What have you got, Mike?
Well, thank you guys for your research and also your efforts in trying to wake up the world. But what I have is a couple of questions, just really quick. I guess since you understand altitudes and things of that sort, being a hang glider, you mentioned them, Steve?
Right, yep.
Okay, anyway, understanding this and you understand your thought processes, of course, in adjusting your weight, adjusting the glider itself, in turning, what heights do you think, in altitude, and of course, you understand altitude, what altitude could they track you at and know that they're being tracked and then adjust their turn? In a vehicle, of course, it's not of human design, of course. How would they adjust their turn?
Not quite sure I understand the question. Are you asking?
Well, I mean, you know, they keep on evading everything that we...
You're talking about UFOs, like what altitude can they avoid or evade radar? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, I mean, just know what you're going to do is your next maneuver and then counter it.
These things, okay, here's a hang gliding UFO sighting, okay, so I'll see if I can match this up for you. So a buddy of mine, this is out in Ojai, California, he and his wife were flying. They were hang gliding, and they're both very good pilots. Mm-hmm. And it was a special occasion for them, we won't go over that, but they were out there flying. And she had an object come straight up to her. It was a UFO because she didn't know what the heck it was, and it was of strange shape and of strange maneuverability.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to fly around her. It was about the size, she says, of a bus. It was white. It didn't have any wings. It had sort of like winglets, but no wings per se. And it scared the daylights out of her. She put herself in a diving spiral, and it was doing circles around her, equidistant circle, like a perfect circle around her. And as she dove for the, you know, for the deck, this thing followed her down. She was at about probably 8,000 feet when she began her dive, and this thing followed her in a spiral. As she's spiraling, this thing kept going around her perfectly. And then after she leveled off at some point and realized she wasn't going to get away from this thing, it took off at a high rate of speed. I hope that answers your question.
Well, it doesn't, and I have a couple of more, too. Just about the nefarious nature of these creatures, I guess to say. We all are aware that there's obviously other things out there besides us. If we take this beyond that, our language, I guess to say, we all have Rosetta Stone, right? And we're all familiar with, I guess to say, to have the ability to go beyond technology. We all know the microwave and light bulb trick, right? You can take a light bulb and put it in the microwave, and just for, you know, 10 seconds, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone to put it in there for 45 or anything, but it does a neat little rainbow show without even touching it.
Okay, but, Mike, really?
Now, Minot, North Dakota. We all know about that, right?
Yes, yes, but, Mike, really quick.
So now, we can power up and power down. Is it a reboot time, or are we going to make corrections on our hang glider with a nefarious thing like this? It could also just post to you on Facebook in English.
Okay, great. Great question. Do you think benevolent? What do you think is going on?
I think they're a little of both here, Jimmy, to be honest with you. I think we have malevolent and benevolent visitations. Abductees will tell you both, and I'd have to agree with them.
I haven't had anything threaten me as far as a craft goes. I think that the benevolent question can be answered when you make direct contact. You're looking at somebody in their eyeballs or something in their eyeballs. Other than that, how are we going to know if it's malevolent or benevolent with a craft unless it's shooting at you?
Yep. What if their game is deception anyway and they want to appear benevolent?
That's exactly right. Let's go to Leroy in Central Kansas. You're up next on Coast, Leroy. Okay, you're up next, Leroy. 3, 2, 1. Okay, there you go. You got to be ready to go. Let's go to Rick in North Carolina. Rick, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, sir. Hello to both of you.
How you doing, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Well, first I want to say, I can understand why everybody wants to see something, curiosity and all that. Myself, I don't look, I don't want to see anything. This thing happened to me when I was a kid. I mean, I've had to live with it my whole life. It's affected my personality. It's affected the way I deal with people. You know, I've been alone my whole life now. I mean, I think basically because of this, I'm 56 now. Still alone. I do have a daughter, but I mean, relationship didn't last long. But anyhow, I was 5 years old, living with my mom, child living, no brothers and sisters, living alone in an apartment building in Cleveland, Ohio. Basically on the top floor, it was about a 3 or 4 story high. And we were right behind Case Western University. If you look out the window, there was an alley. And there was the frat building from Case Western University, basically the back of the frat building, not a whole lot of students in there. And so it was dark. It was 9 o'clock, around 9 or 10 o'clock at night, just me and my mom. And my mom was washing the dishes. I think I'd been there aggravating or something like that. I was about 5 years old. And when you walk from the kitchen into the living room, there's this big window on your right. I remember like it was yesterday. The curtains were open. It was dark out there. And like I said, there's a frat building there. There's an alley between us. And as I'm walking by, a big something caught my eye. I turn, look, I see this big round white light just sitting out there between me and the building out there. Basically just a little bit lower than the window, which is, like I said, 3 or 4 stories high.
Well, what happened next, Rick?
Well, I turned and looked at it, I'm 5 years old, but like your guest said, when you see something like that, you try to go back and compare it to whatever, and
sure.
I mean, I couldn't figure out what it was. I mean, all this happened in like a couple of milliseconds, right? And as that was trying to figure out what is this thing I'm looking at, I realized, well, I'm standing in front of this window, the lights are on, and I could feel it looking back at me. And about the time I got that feeling, I was questioning myself, am I really feeling this? Is it? And then, yes, I was really feeling it because, bam, here it comes, right directly toward the wind. I mean, woof, right up, I mean, it was probably, I'd say, 60 foot out there, and bam, blink of an eye, wham, it was right there at the window. And I'm standing there, and I guess it stopped maybe a couple foot from the window, and then it more or less pressed itself right up against the window. This big round white light, man. I mean, and I'm thinking, is this thing coming through the window? So then, all of a sudden I felt, they stayed at the window. Then all of a sudden I felt this warm feeling at my feet, and it started going up. It went up my legs, and it was, I guess, scanning me. I don't know. And it went through my groin area, to my chest, man, all the way up to my head. When it got to my head, bam, it was inside my head. I mean, I could feel it, it was still at the window, but it was inside my head, too.
Did it communicate with you at all?
No, it didn't communicate. I mean, all it was doing, basically, I got two feelings. Like, it was looking for a threat, and it was like a chance to, how do you say, I don't want to say dissect, like you want to look at something, you know, like on a table, like, wow, you know, I'm going to check this out.
Rick, let me ask you, Rick, let me jump in here really quick. Was this the only time that this ever happened?
5 years old, man, yeah.
Yeah, time. I mean, did it happen when you were 10, 15?
No, I mean, I never wanted to, after I had to go to school, and I had to live with this thing, you know?
Yeah, but it doesn't sound...
I'll tell you the rest of the story, but, I mean...
What's the rest of the story, Rick?
Well, I mean, anyhow, when it came out of my head, it went all the way back, and then it came forward, and then, bam, it was out. It was more or less at the top of the window now. And I remember saying, you know, just leave. You know, you can see I'm not a threat, just leave. So it stayed there a minute. It went straight up, more or less against the side of the building. It went straight up, and I felt hollow, you know.
Right, like, but was it a negative experience?
Yeah, everything about it was negative, yeah.
Wow.
I had to live with this thing, yeah. I never want to see anything again, man. People talk about, oh, I saw this, I want to see that. I mean, if they had something like that happen with them, they had to live with it their whole life, you know. And I had to go to school, and, I mean, what am I going to tell? I mean, I blocked most of it out for 40 years.
Right.
For 40 years, I thought all it did was come to the window and left. And then after 40 years, somebody said something, and I thought about it for 2 weeks, and bam, all of a sudden I felt the memory move from one side of my head to the other, and I remember the whole thing.
Steve has a question for you. Hold on, Rick.
Rick, did you experience any missing time when the events,
when
you came to, so to speak?
I went in, my mom was still washing the dishes, you know?
Okay, so your mom, she didn't see it?
No, I went in there and I screamed, you know, and she didn't move, and she kept washing dishes, and I'm like, you know, I kept screaming, standing there looking at her screaming, and I realized my vocal cords were paralyzed. They wouldn't even work.
Exactly.
So yep. I went up there, and I reached up, and I grabbed her arm, and she started panicking because I was, you know, pure white, I guess. And, you know, we called Air Force, I mean, after I was able to talk. And, you know, they said, well, how old is he? Oh, well, he probably saw a car headlight, you know. And
Rick, first thing you got to know is you're not alone in this. I actually dated a girl who lived in Long Island. She had a probe like that come up to her. She was standing on a porch with three other people. When it came up to her, it turned the other people off, basically. They shut, you know, they were switched off.
Really?
She tried to scream, and nothing came out. And, she had the distinct impression that this thing was scanning her.
See, I want to know why it happened to me. I mean, was it accident or on purpose?
It might have been accident. You're not saying that you've had any other experiences, so
yeah,
I can't say that.
Anything, don't really want to, you know?
Yeah, you know, I get it. And there are a lot of people that feel that way about the phenomenon. It's nothing to trouble yourself about now. You're not having these things recur, right?
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, you're able to go through life. So, you know, try not to worry about it too much. It sounds like it was a one-time event for you.
Thank you for the phone call, Rick. And, you know, like, follow Steve's advice. You know, it was a one-time off event. And, you know, don't look at it negatively now. But definitely talk about it. That's the one thing that you should do. And that's what we're here for. And I really appreciate the phone call. Let's go to really quick. Let's get one more in before the break. Let's go to Gina in Washington. Gina, welcome to Coast.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good, Gina. Real quick, before the break, what do you got?
Oh, this isn't really a quick story. I wanted to tell you my story and my impression of why or what was happening. I was at the Gorge in George, Washington, and after a concert, I was milling around, walking around, talking to people. And then my sister came out of the tent, and I was standing with her and another guy, and we were smoking a cigarette. And I pointed to the sky, and I said, look at that. There's a UFO. And they didn't see it. And I said, show them your UFO. Show them. And it went from normal brightness to incredible brightness and then back. They still didn't believe. So I asked it again, show them your UFO. And it went from normal brightness to incredible brightness and then back. And they still didn't believe. So I said, do some erratic patterns. And it went from the point it was at and did massive erratic pattern and then went back to where it was. And then I asked them again, they still didn't believe. So I said, I yelled to the people, there's a UFO. And I asked it again, do some erratic patterns. It did a whole different pattern and back. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay. And then I said, they still wouldn't believe it. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. So finally, people, when I yelled at the UFO, people came out of their tents and their campers and such. And I said, come towards us, come towards us. And it came from way out there and came zooming at us, came about 50 feet away and about 50 feet up from us. And it was a regular saucer shape. And it had lights at the bottom that were going around in a circle. And the saucer was like mirror-like. It was silver, but like mirror-like. It came towards us, and it was just amazing. And I was so excited, I screamed. And to this day, I lost my high-pitched scream from that night. I screamed because I was so excited, and people just flew back into their tents, and everybody scattered and was so scared. And I was so excited. And then right after I screamed, it zoomed back to its normal position. And I said, please, please, come back again. And I heard in my head, I'm sorry, it's getting too light out.
Oh, really?
That's interesting.
Yeah, pretty amazing. It's amazing, and Gina.
And I said, okay, thank you. I said, God bless you. I love you. And then my theory is either it was the UFO could understand me and hear me and such, like I could hear it when it said that. And my second theory was, it was, you know how the past, the present, and the future can happen simultaneously?
Sure.
It was me from the future coming back to entertain myself.
Amazing.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, Steve, and thank you for the call, Gina. It seems to be the recurring topic tonight with the callers and certainly with our experiences. I think we have gone through these phases. We went through flying saucers. We went through cigar-shaped craft. We went through beam ships. We went through motherships, black triangles. Right now we're in this orb era. I haven't seen any cigar-shaped stuff, but I've seen a little bit of everything. But today, the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, has been this UFO show. You know, with this emotional connect, with this communication.
Yep.
And I think it's way beyond phenomena. I think that this is a reality that we are going through now.
Absolutely. You saw how upset Rick was about his sighting, how profound it was for him. She had an amazing sighting this last caller, Gina. Yeah, it's a phenomenon that is impinging on our consciousness, and I don't have a pattern for you. I don't have an answer on why it picks this person or that. I don't have a correlation.
This is what I find fascinating with it, Steve, and we're going to head into a break here right now, is it reminds me a little bit of prayer, of religion, where, you know, a couple of thousand years ago, people are praying and then lights in the sky show up. Right. They show a positive thing and lights in the sky show up. Maybe beings that they thought were angels. But today, the same communication is going on. Maybe it's not prayer, but it's positive. And we're starting to see these things respond to us. Could there be a connection? That's all. I find it fascinating, this emotional connection and things happening and responding to that. This is Coast to Coast. It's open lines all night long. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. With Steve Murillo live in the studio. We'll be right back. Man, blood, sweat, and tears. David Clayton Thomas. That's what I'm talking about. Anybody figure it out yet? The theme of the bumper music. Follow me on Twitter right now, at JChurchRadio. Somebody figures it out, I'll give you a shout-out right here. I'll give you a Twitter shout-out. Remember the alien megastructure? Remember that star, the alien megastructure star? It was called KIC-846-2852. You know, that was the official name of it. And it was suspected to be surrounded by a Dyson sphere. And everybody was talking about it. I talked about it here. I think we even announced it on Coast. Well, now they're saying that it's interstellar junk. Interstellar junk. You can go check out the full story right now. I don't think they really know. That's the thing. They don't know. And for astronomers and the scientific community to jump on the alien megastructure quotes so early on, was that, you know, they just knew something and they let it slip, and now they're kind of stuck. And so now they're reaching to the interstellar junk category of this. And you can check out the full story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. And we have with us Open Lines and Steve Murillo manning the phones. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm going to just let everybody know our internet has gone down here. I haven't had Twitter for about 20 minutes. So if you're wondering why, or Twitter or anything else, I'm panicking. What am I going to do? No email. But it'll be back. Okay, that's why things aren't getting responded to. Let's go to a wild card. Let's go to Tom in Placerville, California. You're up next on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, all Coast to Coast listeners. This is right up my alley. I had encounters with these orange orbs in the sky about 3 or 4 months ago. I'm 65 now, and I've never seen anything like this in my life. It's like we're under invasion. But they discovered me. I was at Home Depot one evening, right at dusk, and I was looking at the sky with my binoculars. By the way, which if you watch the sky at dusk and dawn, you'll see craft flying everywhere. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It's crazy. They're way up there like the ionosphere. So anyway, I'm at Home Depot. I see these couple waves of white spots way up there going across. And out in the distance, what I call them, like a sentinel, those orange stars. And it's seen me. And I don't live too far from there. By the time I got home, there were like 12 of them around my house, right?
How big were they, Tom? How big were they?
They weren't the really bright ones that change colors and sparkle, like the big one that comes over about 3 a.m. And when you try, getting flashed, I've been flashed by them. I was trying to watch one out my window one night. I blacked my whole room out, got the telescope out. I looked, when I connected with it, it took evasive action, spun around and started zooming right at me. It freaked me out. I don't know how it seen me.
Oh, it knew. You made a conscious connection to it, Tom, which is exactly what we're talking about tonight. It's interesting.
That's all you have to do. Now, let me say one other thing. These orbs, now, I've been talking to these things. Well, I've been trying to communicate with them, but they are attached to another being. If it's dark enough and you can see, when the orb comes over to you, you got to be benevolent, by the way. As soon as you say something derogatory or through your mind, when they get that little red flash in their eye, they split. They start backing up and take off. Now,
okay. Hey, Tom. Tom, yeah. Listen, thank you for the phone call, and thank you for staying on message tonight, because I think it's so important for everybody to understand when they hear about these experiences that not only that we're talking about, but the audience and the callers too as well, and the messages that we're getting here. It's important that if you haven't experienced it yet, you're going to. There's an emotional connection that is going on there right now. And I don't know what it is, but it's fascinating to, once you experience it, you realize there is something going on.
I 100% agree with you, Jim.
Steve, we're on live radio. When you nod your head, the audience
they
cannot
can't
hear that.
They can't hear nods?
Let's go to East of the Rockies, Mickey in Kentucky. Mickey, you're up next on Coast.
Hello, fellas. Great show. I would like to tell you about an experience I had. It was 1980, and it was the 1st of November, and we were out coon hunting one night. And we were at an edge of a hay field with woods. We turned our dogs loose, and they took off. And me and my uncle was standing there, and we noticed a light in the sky, and it was moving like a triangle. And it would go to one corner and be red, go to the next corner and be blue, go to the next corner and be white, and go to the next corner and be orange. We watched it for about 10 minutes. Then it went, like, to the center of this triangle. I mean, not triangle, but rectangle. And this bolt come out of the sky and hit it, and it split into four different pieces and took off. Well, when the bolt come out of the sky, you almost like electricity went through us, and all the hair stood up on our arms. And I looked at my uncle, and I said, "What in the world was that?" And he was just standing there completely stiff. His eyes were like glassed over and black. Well, I grabbed him and shook him, and he just fell over. And he got up and was asking me what was going on. He remembers nothing about it. To this day, he remembers nothing.
Wow.
And he, and it's kind of weird because after that happened to him, he got real, real religious. I mean, almost fanatical religious.
Huh.
And he, to this day, says he remembers nothing about it. He don't remember it happening. And it's like I said, he just, his eyes were just, they were like black orbs in his head. After
what?
That bolt hit.
Yeah, Mickey, let me jump in. Did when you say he went religious, what freaked him out? Was it because he thought that that maybe was a religious experience, or maybe that that was a negative experience, and he needed religion to save him from something? What was going on there?
To hear him explain it, he thinks it was a negative experience that God telling him to get religious. And like I said, I asked him several times, what was going through your head when you were standing there before you fell over? He says, "I have no idea." He says, I don't know. He says, "I don't remember seeing anything. I don't remember feeling anything. I don't remember anything about it."
Wow, that is an amazing experience. And what do you think happened, Mickey, when you look back? What really happened?
I think that there was four UFOs there. And that lightning bolt or energy beam or whatever it was refueling them.
Interesting.
They were sitting there making that rectangle waiting for that fueling. Because as soon as it hit, like I said, I felt it. And then boom, there was four of them split apart and they were gone. Just in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? And thank you, Mickey, for that. Steve. Doesn't that remind you a little bit of Travis Walton?
Yeah, the energy bolt that came out and knocked him to the ground.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, fascinating.
Really interesting. And
yeah.
It's interesting his interpretation, that they were marking a spot where they were waiting for the beam to energize him. Possibility. It's
like
a possibility.
Travis Walton, very similar in what's going on there. Let's go way east. Let's go to Jay in Florida. Jay, you're up next.
Hey, good morning, guys. Okay, so I had a few things. I had the comments if I have time to get to that. But first I wanted to know what you guys think the likelihood of these asteroid or asteroid chunks hitting us, the probability of that, and maybe more particularly a location, and your thoughts and knowledge of Project Blue Beam. I had seen a search result that said that actually Steve was one of the first ones to disclose that to the public. I wanted to mention the website SOL.
Can't do that, Jay. I don't mean to cut you off, but everybody in the world would call up with their websites if I let you through on that.
Not for me.
No, Jay. It's cool. But really quick, Steve, I want to go back to Jay's points here.
Okay.
The asteroid situation. Jay, stay with us. I'm going to keep you right there. This is my opinion. We are getting closer and closer to the point of the technology of being able to prevent something hitting us. And if we have the time, if we have a year, if we have 6 months, and we're tracking some kind of large Earth object that is heading towards us, and we know that it's going to make contact here, I think that we have the ability to either blow it up or get it off course.
Deflect it, right.
And deflect it. So I just don't see it happening. Something small sneaking through that we didn't know about, and then we have a day to prepare that it's really small and it actually gets through and doesn't cause a lot of damage. That's one thing. But something large, life-ending, extinction type event, that type of asteroid? No. The likelihood of that is just shrinking every single day because of the technology that we have.
Well, and I think our scientists realize that that's where our technology has to go in terms of protection for this planet. we have to definitely, you know, label all of these large objects that could potentially hit us in 100 years, 20 years, whatever it is.
Right.
And I think we are developing the technology for that now. I think we have it probably.
Now, his next question was Project Bluebeam.
Project Bluebeam is not ringing a bell with me, my friend.
Oh, that wasn't, well, as far as you revealing it.
No, I don't think that was me. I can't take credit for that
okay.
one. Okay. I'm sorry. Well, I apologize.
I was impressed, Steve.
I know, I was too. I was like, wow, what did I do?
Okay,
but,
Jay.
My apologies, Jay.
That's okay. Jay, what was your question about Project Bluebeam?
Well, I wanted to know, you know, I don't want to get in trouble or put a target on myself for revealing anything that I saw that search result. I want to do a little preliminary research, but I wanted to know your guys' knowledge and opinion on it and maybe a timeline of it.
Ah, okay. Jay, thank you for the phone call. I will answer that directly. It's already been used. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and it's been used a lot. Now, the more extreme uses of Project Bluebeam, which creating an event that would, you know, cause planet unity, for us to gather as one and put down our differences with each other and unite. And then, of course, one world government and one world money and everything else that would come into play there. It's an interesting theory. Could it be done? Yes. Will it be done? I don't know. I don't know if they would take it to that extreme. It's one thing to manipulate a war, right, or the enemy and scare somebody with that, but using it to cause a worldwide panic or something like that, I don't know.
I think it's possible. I mean, if the globalists get a hold of this planet like they're trying so hard to do, you know, the first thing you do is you dumb down the population, then you create fear events to open them to suggestion, and then you do a Project Bluebeam projection of whatever in the sky, you know, and combine that with some nice audio.
Do you remember, Steve, I'm trying to think of the city in China that had the city in the clouds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did we get worldwide panic out of that?
No.
No, we didn't, did we?
No, we didn't.
Was that ever debunked? No, it wasn't.
No.
That's the other strange thing.
No, I know. I know. But, I mean, if you want to influence a culture whose religion is, let's say, Christianity, and you projected, you know, Christ in the sky, and he's making pronouncements and giving orders, you're going to influence that population. Now, and I apologize to Christians out there if I've insulted anybody. It's not my intention. I'm just saying this is technology that's out there available now. It's not exactly off the shelf, but it's been developed
mm-hmm.
and it's been used. So, I think they could try something like that, the globalists or whoever is trying to get hold of this planet. And obviously that's going on right now.
Let's go to the first time caller line. We're going to go West Coast. John in La Jolla, California. John, you're up.
Good evening, or I should say good morning.
Good morning, John. What do you have for
good
us?
Good morning.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. I like that.
You're an air wing boy.
Well, you were a ground pounder, I take it.
You got it.
All and right.
I'm 18.
Mark 1, Mod 0, Bullet Stopper.
Okay. John, what do you have for us?
My serial number, I can't give it to you.
Nah, that's classified. What do you have for us? What do you have for us?
You ever heard of MK Ultra?
Sure.
Well, guess what? I mastered that.
Were you a participant or were you a trainer?
Well, let's put it this way. I was forced into it.
To be a trainer or to be a participant?
Well, I was artillery FO in Vietnam 18. I got blown out of Jeeps. I did everything, okay? Well, I had what they call shell shock.
Okay.
Then it was classified as undifferentiated schizophrenia. Well, basically, they sent me to Japan. I won't tell you where, but it was 15 miles from Tokyo, Camp Drake. Oh, I'll tell you.
Oh, you just told
Guess
us.
What? You ever heard of that?
Nope.
Well, it isn't there anymore. Well, I met a lot of people and stuff like that.
Well, what was your mission, John?
What was my mission?
Yes, you said they sent you to Drake outside of Tokyo.
Well, shell shock, correct? You know, to recoup type thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I got ambushed with a B-40 rocket one night, hit the driver in the shoulder. I volunteered like a good little Marine. And I'll tell you what, okay, I called in artillery, went in there, it hit the driver in the shoulder. He was gone instantly. The corpsman was gone. The guy we were rushing to the hospital blew away. Okay, long story short. Got there, okay, I have shrapnel went through my head. I yelled as the flash went, they're shooting at us. Long story short, I called in artillery and lit that thing up real quick. I said to the general, it's just like the screen, beep, beep, hurry up and wait. Well, the Marines came from both sides and they blew away the so-called, as we call them, gooks. They're just human beings.
Well, John, I'm trying to follow you here before we run out of time. How is the MK Ultra tied into this?
Open up your mind. You have alpha waves, Christianity, things work. Now, I'll tell you something else, too. I met a friend at the VA, right? Went down there. And he was a school teacher here in La Jolla, right? Well, okay, nice guy and everything. And we were talking. And guess what? He was talking, and he disappeared. Okay? He's on the FBI list looking things for things. He's gone. Simple as that. It's very easy on how to do things.
Yeah, that happens all the time. And what's really strange for me with MK Ultra, Steve, I need you to jump in here.
Okay.
When you first heard, we've got 1 minute before the break, when you first heard and started researching into MK Ultra, and you found out that it was a real program, that
right.
it really did exist, and
right.
it was nationwide
right.
and went beyond borders.
Yep.
Were you shocked as a member of the military yourself that we would do this to our own population?
Well, of course, I didn't know about it until after I started getting into this subject. So at that point, all bets were off. The government's doing all kinds of crazy things even now to our populations. The CIA would spray the population of San Francisco with a virus to see how they'd, an influenza virus to see how they'd react to it. Things like that. All that stuff's been going on. It's documented. So is MK Ultra a big surprise to me? No, not at all. Remember that movie with Tim Robbins, Jacob's Ladder?
One of the best movies
ever.
And see, that's the thing. And I'm glad that you're here to talk about this because when you're in the military, you don't know anything.
No.
You don't know what's going on around you. And that's why we have Steve Murillo here live in the studio right here at Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Open lines all night long. We'll be right back.